Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
And welcome to Irregular Bitches, the podcast for women in midlife who are so hormonally challenged that even their socks are pissing them off. I'm not joking. I literally turn into my 7-year-old daughter stressing over the seams of her tights. You know, the toe bit? Ugh. That and 7-year-old girls. Ugh. I'm Sarah Kaywood, former telly bird from the 90s and noughties. And my co-host is Lou Mitchell, fellow irregular bitch and all-round good girl.
Some of the time.
You're a good girl.
Some of the time.
How are you?
I'm really naughty. I'm good, thank you.
Are you?
Yeah.
Naughty in a good way or naughty in a bad way?
Oh, both.
I love it. So we think that doing this in our 40s and 50s is bad enough, but imagine having to do it in your 30s. Well, today's guests were forced through an early menopause due to the BRCA gene and life-changing surgery. I wrote a book documenting her journal called Hot Flush, Motherhood, The Menopause and Me. Please welcome my darling Michelle Heaton.
Hey.
How are you, babe?
Truthfully, rubbish.
Oh, bet. Well, we've had some tech issues.
We've had tech issues that you've handled like a boss, so don't worry.
She's here now. I probably should just caveat that Michelle and I were pregnant at the same time with our darling firstborns and also did see quite a lot of each other during those pregnancies because we were both in Crouchy, weren't we? In Crouch End.
That's right. Yeah, we lived in Crouch End.
I had extremely fond memories.
Before they were born.
Absolutely, getting used to it.
Actually do that? Did you go around pushing empty prams?
No, I just thought it sounded nice.
But we did go for a couple of meals with our big baby bumps.
I love that.
That was, in fact, Michelle. I've never told you this, but Michelle and Hugh were keeping the sex of Faith a secret. Mm. So they knew, but nobody else did. Okay. And we were in Monkey Nuts mm-hmm. one night and Faith kicked and you turned to Hugh and said, "I just felt a kick." And she went, "Her."
Oh.
I said to David afterwards, I was like, "It's a fucking girl." This is our mutual friend. I was like, "Did you not hear it?" And she was, and I thought, "I'm not going to tell Michelle that because she'd be so gutted."
That was cute.
I was like, "Oh, yeah."
Oh my God, I remember that.
Do you remember that meal?
Monkey Nuts. We had to queue, didn't we, to get in as well?
Oh, there you go. Well, some things haven't changed then. I still haven't a queue to
get in. You can't get in anywhere now, are you? I'm very shocked.
Got to get into Sainsbury's, love.
Right, so Michelle, first of all, explain to us, because most people I think will know your journey, but can you explain to us why you had to go through the early menopause and how old you were? Because it was actually quite a few years ago now, wasn't it?
Yes. So AJ is now 6 and a half. And I had my total hysterectomy exactly 6 years ago. So he was 6 months.
Wow.
When I had my total hysterectomy. Mm-hmm. And then 2 years previous to that, I had a double mastectomy reconstruction. Mm-hmm. So it's been a long 8 years. And then so 8 years ago, basically, I discovered that I was BRCA2 positive, which means that I've got a default in a gene that makes my body not fight off certain cancers.
Right.
Because everyone has the genes in their body. But when one doesn't work properly, it doesn't fight it as well as everybody else's. So I have an 85% risk of breast cancer.
Wow.
And a 40% risk of ovarian cancer. So we decided as a couple that I'd have my breasts removed and reconstructed as soon as I could, which I did, before I got cancer, because I thought 85% is pretty high.
Yeah, that's pretty high.
Absolutely.
And then, but with the ovaries, it was difficult because I mean, 40% is neither, either way, but it's still quite high. And both my grandma and her mum passed away while having ovarian and breast cancer at the same time.
Right.
Yeah, and they take that into consideration. And I mean, you know, ovarian cancer, I don't think is really that spoken about, but it's called the silent killer. It's called that for a reason. It's very hard to detect. It's often mistaken for IBS, which, you know, we all suffer from after eating a monkey nuts every night. So it's like, it's one of those things that is very hard to blame for whatever the woman is suffering from.
Yeah.
So with that, we decided to have them removed. And because I had two C-sections, the ovaries were already moving around. Mm. So I was recommended total hysterectomy. So while they were in, might as well whip it all out because I didn't need it anyway.
But that is, obviously did you have sections?
Two.
You did, didn't you? So we are women of the C-section. Mm. And that is already major abdominal surgery. And then you went through two more major surgeries, one of which was a major abdominal surgery. So at this point, I'd just like to give you a ripple for having a banging smoking body. And I know that is a lot of hard work. No, it is. I would.
I mean, I will have less stuff.
I do you into next week, woman. No, you do look fabulous. And so one thing I've always wondered about the forced menopause is, does your body automatically go into it because they've taken your reproductive organs away, or are you forced through it medically?
Both would be the right answer. So because it was medically induced, because the one of the fertility organs were taken away, whether it be all of them like me or one of them, anything that produces the hormones in menopause, which are the ovaries, actually, that's it. So it's the ovaries, that's it.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so it's the ovaries that produce the hormones that we all have in our bodies.
Right.
And when you go through menopause, the ovaries stop working. And some in perimenopausal women usually go through perimenopausal unless it's medically induced like me. Mm. Sometimes perimenopausal can last a year or could last 5 to 10 years before you're actually in menopause. Mm. Blood tests can tell you when you're in it and not in it. Mm. But the perimenopausal is the long journey. That's where people get more issues without realising what they're going through.
Exactly right. So what happened for you then? So you had the surgery, and how soon before you started to notice signs that you were menopausal?
I mean, it was weird because I never really was privy to the fact that I was going to be in menopause. I knew because I was told, but I didn't really think about it. You just don't really, because we never really got taught about it at school. And
that's right.
You know, your mums don't really talk about it.
Absolutely. No, we haven't found a mum yet,
have we? One of those things that medically they sort of, I know when I've had major surgery before, they sort of gloss over the important, like they glossed over the fact for me when I had a bowel resection, that I would have to have B12 injections the rest of my life. Did they just sort of go, oh, and of course then you'll have the menopause and just leave
and
it at
that's
that?
That's it.
Yes.
That's so unhelpful.
Exactly,
isn't it?
That.
So you had, and bearing in mind you were in your 30s, you wouldn't have known anybody else.
With two little kids.
Oh, Michelle, I can feel myself getting annoyed.
I know, I feel anxiety.
On your behalf. That's out of order, isn't it?
It is out of order.
So what did you do then?
Well, I'm surprised Hugh's still with me, to be honest.
Oh, bless him.
I'm surprised I haven't been sectioned. I'm surprised I haven't actually left the family and got rid of the kids, to be honest. it's not that she's been a mum anyway. I laugh when I feel slightly awkward because it's not bloody easy. It's been really rough. And it wasn't instant. It wasn't like I woke up and all of a sudden, I'm in menopause. Yeah. It isn't like that. And it isn't like that in general, no matter whether it's medically induced or not. It's like a slow cloud of fog that comes. And sometimes the fog is thicker and sometimes it's not. But the fog you don't see coming until it's too late. So you don't really think it's menopause when I'm in this rage of like, you know, a rage. Yeah. But I've always been kind of dramatic and very dramatic and, you know, really, really passionate.
Are you a hothead?
About
yeah,
things,
yeah, yeah.
Whether it's, yeah, whether it's arguments or living life for the moment or making a decision, right, I'm going to go get a tattoo and I'll go yeah. do it. So I've always been that way anyway, but it's just everything's heightened. So the best way I can describe it is whatever your kind of personality is, what for me anyway, the highs and the lows were stretched even more. And right. I was always a very high and a low person anyway. So yeah. that's the best example that I can set.
So did you get drugs for it? Did you get any HRT? Did you get
I
any
I wish
therapy?
They'd give me drugs.
Again, they don't, sometimes they don't even bloody give you the option. Yeah. just mainline me up.
yeah. Oh my God. I mean, that would be the answer to everything, but it's not. So yeah, so I have hormone replacement right. and I had estrogen replacement implant in my butt cheek from day one,
right?
Because my body stopped producing all three hormones, estrogen, progesterone, testosterone. And estrogen is the female hormone that, well, pretty much keeps us alive, to be honest.
Yeah.
And that was done. And every 6 months, I have to have this implant. Mm-hmm. I have a little cut in my bum. They put the implant, which is like a mini Tampax, and then they stitch me up. And I have to pay for it because it's not on the NHS.
You know what has just occurred to me as well? So a bit like when you have a C-section and your milk doesn't come in because your body hasn't had the right cues, and so it can take days. Mm-hmm. And sometimes C-section babies are, I've found breastfeeding almost impossible. So Michelle, your menopause was that. 1 minute, your body is mid-30s.
Just had a baby.
And then next minute, bam, all the hormones were gone. You
That's
must have gone into, like, your mental health must have plummeted because estrogen is responsible for happy, right?
Yes,
were you all
exactly.
right? Were you okay? I feel bad now.
I'm still not, no, I'll stop it. You made me cry. No, I wasn't okay, really. And no, is the best answer to describe it. And I found myself in a bit lost and not having like the energy and the get up and go that I always had. So then they combined the implant with testosterone because I was like not getting out of bed.
Yeah.
And that's helped a bit.
Yeah.
But then come with it is other side effects because then my rage is heightened, but then I have more passion for life. And then I have these lovely chin hairs that are getting thicker every time I shave. I mean, isn't that brilliant? Isn't that just goddamn
irregular?
Bitches.
I tell you what, though, like, I mean, obviously you wouldn't wish it on your worst enemy. Of course I wouldn't wish it on you because I love you. But you will have helped so many women who've had to go through this by writing that book. Because Lou and I was expecting it. I knew it was coming. It was right on the horizon. But so for people,
and it's
who,
bad enough for us,
yeah,
frankly,
exactly.
not knowing what the signs were and what to expect. But at least you know, late 40s, yeah. where you're like, oh, well, you know, I'm going to start.
And also, like we said, it's a natural. It happens naturally. Whereas, you know, I just think, thank God for you and for writing that book for women that are going through a similar thing, so that it's not, so that they're not, because you know. I love the NHS, obviously, they're amazing, but they're just so under so much pressure that they don't go into the minutiae of this stuff. So they do just, they patch you up and send you away, don't they?
They do. Exactly. They do. And they do that in general, you know, regardless of current times and the distress that the NHS is in because of COVID. Yeah. So regardless of that, yes, menopause is one of those things that's swept under the carpet almost and not really given the time of day, but it's like a faux pas because it's hard to talk about it because men don't understand in general. And then women who aren't going through it don't want to talk about it because they think it's never going to happen to them until later, until they're old. But old comes round the corner. Do you know what I mean?
I'm
41. I mean, I thought, oh my God, 41 is like a granny. And I still feel 12 in my head. So like, and then I forget, I'm 41. I am 41 years old and I'm creaking, and I've got back pain. I've got a slipped disc. I mean, you name it. My pancreas isn't working. I've got to take tablets. My liver's a little bit bigger. I mean, surprise there.
We're just going to put you down.
That's it.
Can we just put her down?
We're older, and that's what happens.
Absolutely.
I forget.
Right. Yeah.
Right. I forget that I'm that old. I'm not saying I'm old, but I'm old.
We're lucky in the fact that we are here at 41 and 48 and 50.
Yeah. Yes.
There's lots of people that we know that aren't.
Also, a small little another ripple, because I know Michelle's got building work going on at home.
That's two of you. That's the three of us.
It's the worst. Oh, my God. It's such a first world problem, though, isn't it? Get it down, you love. Oh, you're making me want gin.
This is not my normal. I mean, really, honestly, it really is. Yeah, we decided to extend. When I say extend, I mean get off.
Are you in the same house that I came to after Faith was born? In Watford?
Yes.
You're still in that house. It's a beautiful house.
Yes. Yes. So the whole back is off. So we can't live there, and the extension is going to be out. It's not going to be done until February, and we were starting it at the beginning of, you know, COVID. So we have to obviously continue it, and only started 5 weeks ago again. So now we see ourselves through winter, and so we have nowhere to live. So today we go to New Forest for 7 days holiday, and then when we get back, we move into a house that we're renting.
Until February. I want to climb inside there and give you a cuddle.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Now, how old were you when you had your op?
The hysterectomy, I would have been 34.
So 34. It's a bloody...
32
it's bloody,
when I had my mastectomy,
So it's bloody good job that you had had your children.
Yes, yes. So
you wouldn't have, because you wouldn't have been able to have them, would you?
No. Mm-hmm.
No, no, exactly. So I remember when, before we got pregnant with AJ, we were discussing as a couple whether we would try for another or have the operation, because, you know, it's like juggling time and how long have you got? And we, you know, you never, you just don't know.
Yeah.
It's not like you've got an answer on a tin. And then we got pregnant with AJ accidentally. So we saw it as a sign from God that, you know, crack on.
Yeah.
And then and as you know, he had meningitis when he was 6 weeks old. And then
he's all right though. Is he all right now?
Yeah.
Are you all right, baby?
Yeah.
Oh, don't you make me cry.
We pushed a big trigger. I'm sorry.
It's okay. He's okay. He's slower.
Really? So it will have long-term
effects.
He can't
see properly.
Oh, Michelle.
I mean, he is. Stop it. He's great. He's a little bastard, actually. AJ is special. He's so just wonderful, and he'll be the one that gives me the cuddles because he sees me upset about anything. He just feels me. He's me. He's literally a mini me. Really emotional. Probably too emotional.
But
there's nothing actually physically wrong with him. His eyesight's very, very poor, so he'll be wearing glasses for the rest of his life unless he has. He's plus 6 and plus 5.5.
Right.
Okay.
So that's quite severe, and we never knew until last year. So we never knew. He just saw life as a blur, and nobody knew until he got his eyes tested. So that's that. He's learning. He can't read properly. And we believe, I mean, we're getting him tested, dyslexia, but they can't test him properly until he's seven, but they're doing an early test on him. Now, it's just minute. It's not the end of the world, but I'd rather find out now.
Are you dyslexic, Michelle?
Probably. Yeah. I've got everything fucking else.
No, I don't. Yeah.
Add it to the
I didn't
list
know left. whether, because I'm dyslexic. I mean, I still don't know. Is dyslexia going to be carried through?
I think
is
so.
Is it genetic?
I don't think so.
But you're not dyslexic,
I'd have
no.
I Google it.
Well, I've never been tested, but I mean, right. I'm not the brightest spark in the world. So.
Oh, do not do. You wrote a book, woman, for fuck's sake. I'll come in and thump
Well,
her.
No, somebody else wrote it. I told her what to write.
Right, that's good enough for me. So listen, let
Absolutely.
Me do the
Absolutely. It was all on dictaphone.
So AJ had meningitis and you had your operation
literally 4 months afterwards?
A few months after that, yeah.
Fucking hell, woman!
Yeah,
she's
and
a survivor.
I was, I really, really, really suffered from postnatal depression with AJ because I couldn't breastfeed with him. So I had my double mastectomy.
Yeah.
And there was this moment, this is what makes me cry, when I had him, right, and they're nuzzling. And I didn't even think, and everyone's around and the midwives are there, and he had just been pulled out the stomach, you know, the cord cut and blood spurting everywhere.
Oh yeah.
And then the nuzzle, and he went to, you know, reach nuzzle
to latch
and
on.
And then I was like, and then I said, I can't breastfeed, I've had a mastectomy, and they all knew, I knew it was on my notes. And it was just one of those things that just didn't twig. Mm. And he's latching, trying to latch, and I couldn't.
Oh, babe.
So,
that's
and then they went and got a bottle, and they were so apologetic because it was their fault that they didn't read the notes properly. But it was just one of those things that just went, I didn't even think.
Yeah,
I didn't think about it.
I can totally see
I mean, you're having your lumbar puncture in your back at the,
exactly.
You know, I'm not,
yeah.
I'm not thinking about the first feed, really.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Yeah, it's difficult. Like, if I think about it enough, it makes me cry as well. I think breastfeeding is a proper trigger because I was always rubbish at it. Mm. I had a nipple pierced, my left nipple, and I think that they pierced milk ducts because that one was the one that never worked. So and the other one did, but it was it's proper. And it's just, I think, you know, and also sometimes society can be a little bit pro-breast.
Absolutely, I totally
breast
agree.
Breast is best and
Bloody
all of that.
Hell,
and
they ram it down your throat, love.
Yeah, and I'm just
absolutely.
Cut some slack.
Yeah, and then I felt quite guilty because of the meningitis, that it was because he didn't have as many antibodies in his system because of the lack of milk.
Nothing to do with just sheer fucking bad luck, babe.
I know. It's
as
just one of those
we're
things
very
that,
good
you know, you blame.
At blaming ourselves. Yeah,
yeah
we're
did.
Very good at that.
So, and the other thing I'm thinking is, so you've got two under two or two under three and you're going through the menopause.
How's
Can you
that?
Think of anything
I really can't.
Worse? Did you have to take antidepressants, if that's not too a personal question?
No, I probably should have done and probably would do it now.
Yeah.
But I did go to the doctors once. And I wanted diazepam. I wanted to sleep.
Yeah.
I wanted diazepam. I wanted it to knock me out. I just wanted to sleep. I was so exhausted because I suffered from insomnia anyway and then everything else. And I just broke down and AJ was maybe about two or maybe three. And Faith's like, mummy, you know, hitting her head off the wall or whatever. Yeah. And I just cried. And he said, oh, this will help you sleep. And it was antidepressants. Now, within 30 seconds... he had came to a conclusion that I was depressed. Now, albeit may have been, but not
Were you
right
upset
then.
In that moment? Yeah, you were in that moment, but it didn't mean that you...
Then,
yeah.
So I thought that was really dangerous because, I mean, I don't believe at that moment I needed antidepressants and it was administered.
You probably needed a holiday and a cuddle.
And a holiday,
I need a holiday.
And a nanny.
That's one of our questions. We've got Dr. Amir Khan on, and that's one of our questions, is why are GPs so quick to prescribe antidepressants before even, you know, having a proper discussion about actually what's going on and is it HRT we need or, you know, numerous other things. So it sounds like that was absolutely your experience, straight to antidepressants.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I didn't know until I went home and Googled what it was.
Yeah.
And And really? I didn't take them. They're still in the drawer.
Yeah.
Just because if I need them, I'll take them. I am not taking tablets at all. I'll take them. Give me loads.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I felt that was a misdiagnosis.
Irregular bitches.
I think it's fair to say that Michelle is one of the best examples of somebody who can deal with that sort of issue through lifestyle and exercise, because you and Hugh are such little fitties in both senses of the word, and I know because I've seen you eating that your diet is pristine.
Apart from when she swigs from a white wine bottle. Cheers. Those days are gone. It's actually 3.5%. I mean, I'd have to drink about 10 of them.
The image is great.
That's what's going on the Instagram, babe.
Yeah. Oh my God, honestly. Oh. I think my whole healthy attitude did fall by the wayline because I had other things to think about. He's exactly the same as he was. I mean, it's an attitude rather than a way of life. It's a lifestyle rather than a diet. And
yeah, you do what you can.
And I think that exercise definitely releases happy hormones. It's been a really big part of our lives. I know I feel good after a workout. It's just getting up and doing it that I struggled with. But I know I feel better afterwards, and that's basically what it is. And little and often, little more wine than often.
You know what Andy says? He says the hardest thing about going for a run's tiny laces.
I get that. That's a really good metaphor because I agree. The worst thing about doing a marathon is the training.
Absolutely, it's not actually doing the marathon. Yeah. Well, anyway,
that is quite hard.
Have you done a marathon?
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, good girl.
Bloody hell.
Two.
Have you done two marathons?
Yeah, London and New York.
Amazing. Yeah.
See? You know what? In case you don't follow Michelle on Instagram and Twitter, she is at Wonder Woman Shell.
Thank you very much. Sarah
is Wonder Woman. not so wonderful, Kaywood. So your mental health has been all right? Are you out the other side of your menopause now, Michelle?
No. I mean, how long's a piece of string, basically? I think that. I mean, menopause is really difficult because there isn't an answer, and not everyone's going to have the same symptoms as me. And I never had itchy skin until this year. Hot flushes and the rise of the blood up to the head has never really been there until last year. And then recently, I've been suffering from headaches. Is it menopause or am I just literally wrecked?
Exactly what I say.
Michelle, I've got this thing where me and two friends so far, I haven't found anybody else, going through perimenopause have found their ears are really itchy. Now, have you had anything like that?
So if we're talking about itchiness, right? Yes. I can't even explain how itchy I am.
All over.
Now, we're not talking down there. We're talking, right? So it's not treatable with Canesten or anything like that. Okay. It's literally my skin, and it's the heat of your blood, right? It's almost like a hot flush, but internally. So the heat, you know, on the outside.
This happens in pregnancy for some people, doesn't it?
Very similar. And I had that around my belly. And that's the only way they can describe it. It's so intense. And sometimes I can't sleep because of it. And it's usually at night.
That sounds worse than your broglie.
It does. Absolutely.
Oh, my God. You see, our kids are similar ages. Louise's children are older. She's got 17 and 14, Mish. We've got, what, so 8, and AJ's a bit younger than Autumn. Is he 5?
He's 6.
Oh, he's 6. So, well, Autumn just turned 7 literally last week. So very similar.
Same school year.
It's in the morning. All they just want to do is sit on their fucking phones, trying to get them dressed.
Oh, my God, I'm about it.
They don't even want to eat their breakfast. They just want to sit on their phones. And Autumn will just have a right old strop when I tell her that she's got to get dressed. It's like...
It's not that dissimilar with teenagers, to be
honest.
To get out of bed.
Just getting the little fuckers out of bed.
It's mad, it really is. My worst thing is the ignorance. I'm probably shouting to Nigel's out there. She's off school. And she's off school today. She's managed to have a day off.
Why?
Because I'm taking her away. Honestly. And all I can see is her, like, her hair's a mess. She's got rat's tails in it. She won't let me brush it.
No, or to let me brush her.
She's walking around like that all day. And she's getting done it. And she's, you know, she's chewing faster than most her age. So I can see greasy hair and that. And Hugh's like, no, she isn't. Oh, yeah, she is. Yeah. And then she's on this, you know, she's walking around with the iPad and she's TikTok.
Oh, yeah, that's it. TikToking. That's it.
That's it. Thank you. Sorry, people can't see
like
this,
Tourette's.
But I look like I was just having a fit.
Yes, it's like
but I would say that surely, Michelle, come on, surely you can show us.
Bang out some TikToks.
You can show us some bust moves, man. Oh, we've all seen the Liberty X videos. Get the cane out, babe.
I always wanted a cane. There we go. We need that.
That's all I know.
That on the Instagram.
Honestly, I've no idea. I mean, how they walk around without falling over doing what they do now. I don't get it. I mean, if back in our day, right, if you saw kids in at school, literally like
twitching
and like, you'd be like to the teacher, I think you need to get that kid seen.
But Michelle, have you tried to
strap them up?
Have you tried to join in? Because so Lola will do it and then I will copy and I literally, I'm the mum dancer. I don't look anything like she looks. She looks sharp.
Michelle was a pop star, remember?
I know. But we all get to the point where it's like,
I've done it a couple of times.
And how did you get on?
I think I was great.
I'm going to look it up.
We need this on Instagram.
Honestly, thank you so much. As soon as we decided that we were going to do regular bitches and we were thinking about guests, I was like, we need Michelle on because she is,
early doors.
You know, because she is the woman that is looking after younger women who are having to go through this shit. So thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you.
Because you are just, you're a diamond.
Delight.
Michelle, thank you so much. That's all we've got time for this week. Irregular Bitches is a Factory Originals production and we have been Sarah Kaywood, Louise Mitchell and Michelle Heaton. Woo! Until next time, Louise.
Stay cool, bitches.
We'll try.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.